Woo! Blade and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. We are halfway through the Hump Day show. We are at the nexus of the radio universe right now for our week. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Okay, the Euro.
It was cool. Wait, man, hold on. It was cool yesterday being on the live streaming, man, yesterday, man. Got a lot of comments about how nice looking Mickey was, man. So
of course, that was good.
Everybody saw us in person. And, you know, you get tired of, you know, listening to people's voice, man. Get it. You know, see eye to eye, like, oh, dang, that's what he looks like.
I will say this, that there was somebody in the comments yesterday who did enjoy some Hitman, though. Yeah. Really?
Like, so, some NSFW comments about the Hitman.
Yeah, I was blushing a little bit. I'm blushing again thinking about some of those comments.
Oh, yeah. Who is Swag Buck? Who is that?
Maybe it was Buck Rising.
Is that Buck? You know, is that the other version of Buck Rising?
I don't think it is because Swag Buck comments during the Buck Rising show. So unless it's Buck's alter ego commenting on his own show, I don't know. But I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Because you know his alter ego. I mean, he, you know, he's got a big personality. So I wouldn't be shocked, man. I mean, yeah, he. Yeah, that Swag Buck said he wanted to get hit by the Hitman. I mean, yes. From behind. Let me add that on there. He said from behind. I'm like, huh? I answered like a dog. Huh? Oh. We know what the dogs be doing. Oh, okay. Stop that. We'll carry on.
Maybe that person was talking about traffic-wise.
Oh, okay. Okay. I would have
tackled. Maybe tackled so you didn't hit him head on. Maybe that was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was going on, man. But yeah, man, that was pretty fun, man. You know, that was cool, you know, being back on TV, man. I can't wait till we get back in the studio. We're still waiting on, you know, our other partner to arrive so we can, you know, we don't want to do it all together.
Well, every time I hear anything about that, I get told we don't want to be back in the studio. I've been told by that by multiple. Yeah, you guys don't want to be back. We're like, we never said that.
No, we did not say that. No, actually, we said the opposite of that. So, yeah. Yeah, so we're still waiting on there. They're still trying to stop for the partner. So we shall see who that is. It may be a shocker. We got to wait till we get it all, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Someday, man. Someday. But we had a great day at Puckett's yesterday, for sure. We ate some great food. There were awesome people there, too.
Oh, man.
And the people there were nice. And our guy Mike, who was helping us out. And,
Mike
Green and several people came in and said, I just came here to eat, to see you knuckleheads. And we played guitars that were on stage, and Blaine just got up there and shredded. It was amazing.
Yeah, when he says that, he means literally I shredded the chords there. I always fantasize of being a guitar player, but that wasn't in the cards for me. That was more Mickey's deal.
Well, but football worked out okay for you. I mean, it worked out fine, you know? I mean,
yeah, you know, but it, you know, it depends on what you know, how you look at it, out of what eyes you look at it. Because if I wanted to be a guitar player, and it didn't work out. I just so happened to be a good football player. That's always great. Hey, and actually, that leads us to where we are now. The Titans have some guys who were basketball players and wrestlers. They thought that's what they wanted to be, and they did. And then they realized, maybe I got a better shot to make pro at the NFL. So, man, that's always interesting, and see how they develop and they progress over each and every practice, every rep, you know, because they got a long way to go if they haven't played football since high school. It's a little bit different than the pros, but their athleticism and their traits show that possibly they could at least make it on the practice squad. So I'm interested to see how it all works out, because there are some traits to wrestlers being real good offensive defensive linemen. There's a history of that in the National Football League, as well as tight ends. Antonio Gates being the best.
The king, yeah.
Hall of Famer, you know, was a basketball player in the MAC conference that I played in. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all as time goes on. These guys turn into really good players and eventually contribute at some point down the road, maybe, you know, next year or so.
It's funny, we had David Beauclair on, who's covered the Titans since they've been here. And we were asking him about those guys, and he was talking about the wrestler, Adam Kuhn. And he said, you know, all these pictures kept getting put out of him in his wrestling singlet. And you're like, oh, my gosh, look at this guy. He's huge. And then he said him standing in a huddle with other offensive linemen, he just He said he wasn't even as big as some of them. Some of those guys are bigger than him.
Yeah, yeah. He was amongst, you know, elephants. He was the baby elephant now. Yeah, he just comes up and said, hey, little buddy, you know what you're doing? You stand next to LeJuan or whoever, you're 6'7". You know, all these guys, man. And then he looks just like he just fits in right along with them. Yeah, yeah.
So you played in the MAC conference at Ball State, and I know Arkansas State well because I worked there and I went there. And at those schools, you may occasionally have a 300-pound lineman, but especially in those days, going back, you were playing with probably guys that were 260, 270, probably in that range. Then right. You get to the NFL, and there's Bruce Matthews, and Brad Hopkins was your roommate, and you start looking at these guys. Munchak, right? You had to be thinking, who are these freaks? How do these people run and jump? These giant elephants, how do they move like they move? And the thing is, they're bigger now than they've ever been. Yeah. And I would challenge anybody listening who would look at those guys and go, oh, go race one of those guys and watch them stomp you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My wife used to say she could beat those 300-pound in the 40. And I said, you better stop that craziness talk you're doing. You cannot beat them. I'm telling you. These guys are running 5'1". Some of them 4'7", 4'8". I mean – nah, I said, babe, no way, no how. Then she finally came to grips and said, hey, I don't know. I said, I'll take you out there and time you with nobody racing you. But yeah, that was the amazement once you get in the league. You know, once you play against fast guys are fast guys, you know, 4'4", right. 4'3", 4'4", you know, but it was the amazement of the big human beings and how fast they could run in a 15-yard radius was pretty impressive. Oh. So for me, I just didn't want to get caught on tape running by or next to any of those guys ever on tape. That was of all things, I feared that. Especially then when we got with the freak, I'm like, oh my God, if I get next to this guy and he is running faster than me and we're chasing somebody down, that will go around the league and that looks bad. You talking about somebody who would have been perturbed? I mean, I would have been lit. I can't even tell you my competitive spirit back then. I can't even recreate it because it's gone now. But man, I would have been like, I told him, I said, if we're ever running, I said, I don't care if I catch him or not. If we're running side by side each other, I'm going to clip you. I said, I'm serious now. Once I saw him run by Samario and run around and all that, I was like, no can do. And I knew I wasn't faster than Samario. So, and I swear up and down, I'm like, you can't beat me, though.
Right. But it had to have just been unreal because you'd practice and then maybe you go in and watch the film and you're like, who is this alien that landed on our team? What is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really blows you away, you know, because even in every position group, they're pointing out, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look, watch him. And then all of a sudden you're in the DB room and you watching a D lineman. Oh, crap. Ooh, we got something special here. And then also you start thinking about, well, I hope he's not next to me running. He may look like he's faster than me. He may be faster. He is faster than me.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was pretty phenomenal. And just that alone raises and heightens the level of everybody else's play because you want to say, uh-oh, I'm going to make sure that I do my part. I mean, there's no doubt about it. No different than that. This is what Julio Jones is bringing right now. You know, when you're an elite, best of the best, to bring all those intangibles as well as the work ethic and all his size and experience and all of those things, it heightens, man. Everybody else has said, hey, I got to step my game up. I know Brown's not out there. AJ Brown's talking about, I got to step my game up. I guarantee it. People are like, well, where are you going to go with it? To the next level. Yeah. We're going to see we're going to be competing in games. That's how you gonna look at it. Yeah. So it's going to be a fun little ride once, you know, him and Tannehill and crew get all on the same page in a game. That's going to be fun to watch.
No doubt. Oh, boy. That's going to be fun for sure. And we're all going to have a ringside seat to it.
Yeah,
it is.
And they do it every week, week in and week out. Put up 30 or more. Ooh, tough task.
I just want to see the Titans where they ran at the second most in the NFL and they threw it. Only two teams threw it less than them. I really want to see how Todd Downing handles the distribution of run and pass. That to me is one of the more fascinating things to watch with the whole team. Only one team ran it more. Only two teams threw it less than the Titans last year. I want to see if they go back towards the middle somewhere, because you still got Derrick Henry, still got the old line. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Certain Titans players are set to speak after practice. They're finishing practice now. Should be starting soon. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will hear from live Titans right here on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, awaiting Titans players to join this Zoom meeting. As soon as they do, we will go to the Zoom meeting, and you can hear from whoever speaks from the Titans today. This is their last day of on-field work. They'll have one more day of minicamp tomorrow. Mike Vrabel said yesterday they will not take the field tomorrow. So this was their last on-field day officially as part of this offseason until the 2021 season starts. Let's make this Father's Day season a good one for you. It's still Dad's Week. Nothing like a sounds game. I took my son a couple of weeks ago. We had a great time. Let's give you a chance to win Dad some tickets to Sounds right here. Actually, if you're just calling number five, I'm finally getting a chance to read this. It's no chance. You're going to win tickets to a pair of games to a future Nashville Sounds game. You can take Dad out to the ballpark at First Horizon Park this summer. Caller five, couple of Sounds tickets for you and Dad, 615-737-1045, as we again await Tennessee Titans Zoom to start. Lucas will let us know when that is. So, Blaine, you asked me this question about a week ago, and I love stuff like this because it's fun to imagine, like, okay, how does it feel today? What's going to happen this season? Who got the better end of their trade? Colts for Carson Wentz, Titans for Julio Jones. We asked this question on the Blaine and Mickey Twitter account. Granted, we are in Nashville, Tennessee, doing a show on the flagship network station of the Tennessee Titans. We know that most things we talk about will probably lean more Titans, but I hashtagged the Colts and the Titans so a fan of either team could see this. Right now, here's how we're trending on this question. At Blaine and Mickey, follow us there. Give us an answer. 4% say the Colts got a better end of the deal. 96% of 162 votes say the Titans got the better end of the deal for Julio Jones. There is little confidence in this town about Carson Wentz.
Right. No doubt about it. And, you know, I think really we don't know the answer because we don't know who the Falcons are actually going to get out of their trade. Julio definitely probably is a bigger name, even though he's not a quarterback, than Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz the last couple of years have kind of, you know, not played so well. So I think all the hype is more around Julio Jones. But according to Vegas, they think, you know, with the two trades, even with that being said, that now the Colts and the Titans are even as far as who's favored to win the AFC South, which is kind of interesting, being that a quarterback typically is the one who can influence change the most.
Yep.
And that has happened. So they're not sure what Carson Wentz is going to be either. So we shall see. So we'll get them early. We'll see. Naturally, a rivalry game in the SEC. Naturally, I'm from Indy, so I always want to take the Colts down at any cost, since they kind of dominated us with Peyton Manning and Mr. Luck. So, yeah. So now that those guys are gone, now it's our turn. And, oh, by the way, we have to add another ding-dong to the ding-dong on Monday, and that is Brian
Montez Sweat.
Brian Schottenheimer from the Jaguars saying they're not sure who the freaking starting quarterback is going to be.
Oh, please make a note of that.
What the heck is he talking about? Hey, I have a lot of respect for him and all, but hey, you know, I get you trying to say we're trying to develop competition, but if I'm the owner, I'm going, hey, man, I know what you got to say, but tell me that's not true. You know, hey, we know what Minshew is. I think he's still on the roster, isn't he?
Yeah, apparently cut his mullet.
So we going with the young guy, and we got time, and this is the year to put him out there and gain experience from day one. So all that stuff you talked about, that's wrong. So you can say what you want, but that's who's going to be on the field.
Why do people still feel like they have to say stuff like that?
I have no idea, because you want to say you didn't give it to him. Well, guess what? You did, and he deserved it, because that's
soon as you
have the number one pick. Sorry.
That's it.
Yeah. I gave it to him, and now we got to live with his mess ups or not. You coach him up, back up. You the backup now. Hey, I saved you some hits. You still collect the same amount of money you was making before.
No doubt.
So, yeah, that being that everybody knows, you know, this is absurd. This is not 1995. As far as, oh, let's let him sit on the bench for 3 years and let him learn and grow slowly. Shoot, no, those years have passed. Not unless you got a big time franchise quarterback, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You go first round, let alone number one pick. Sorry. He's out there. No patience by the fan, because they're going to be clamoring for him anyway. As soon as you lose one game or the quarterback plays bad, they're going to be, put him out there. So that was sometimes I wonder if coaches are just as bad as some of the ding dong players up here asking these questions. Come on, man. I mean, but what's worse, Sweat, what he said, until I catch
COVID, I don't want the vaccine. COVID,
I'm not getting the vaccine.
I don't need treatment. Schottenheimer
talking about Lawrence is not the starting quarterback, huh?
Hey, man, and you nailed it, Blaine. If this was 1978 or if it was 1989 or 1996 or sometime in the past when that wasn't the case, if a coach said, hey, man, he's going to have to come in and win it because, you know, this guy that's been here three, if they'd said that then, like, okay, but you're just saying it to say it now. The number one overall draft pick is going to start. That just stop. Stop yeah. it. None. Stop it. Stop. Stop.
I think he's a good coach too, by the way, Schottenheimer, Brian Schottenheimer. So, but to man, you know, sometimes you get caught in these, you know, cubby holes and you're not really paying attention to what's going on. You're so fixated on what you're doing, whether you're a coach or a player. People don't realize that, you know, you're not really paying attention to what's going on around you and even in the world. That's why I always thought, you know, when somebody asks you a question outside of football, say, hey, man, I'm not really paying attention. I didn't even know that was going on. Just say that. I mean, because, you know, they think athletes are all supposed to be worldly and have an influence on everything. Well, not all of them do, because they're focused on their profession at the time. So, that was there. That's a no-no. You know, if his dad would have said that, I know his dad's, you know, but not him. Yeah, he can't say that.
Nick Saban took – I think it was Saban who took some heat a few years ago because there was someday, it may have been election day. I don't know what it was, but it was some day. And he said, I didn't know that. Like somebody brought it up and he said, honestly, I had no idea. I had no idea what today was. I didn't know.
Yeah. He was serious about that.
He was dead serious. He was dead serious. I've told you the story before when I was working as associate AD and we were getting ready to start a football season and the day started to all run together. And there were 3 days in a row. I worked 17 hours, 17 hours, and 17 and a half hours. I worked that many hours. So that only left, 7 hours in the rest of the day to sleep, to eat, to do anything else. And I met my wife and my daughter for dinner. And I said, I'm not dying. I'm not crazy, but I need to ask you a question. I need to know what day it is. I had no idea. And they said, it's Friday. I said, I had no idea. You could have told me it was Monday and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, even as a former player, when I was playing, I only knew based off of the game plan. Oh, we're putting in third down today. Up. That means it's Thursday. Oh, we got a red zone today. Up. That means it's Friday. You know, you start doing all your rehab stuff and that kind of tells you by the end of the week where you're at. Besides what else is going on, I'm so fixated. I'm taking a breather when I get home. Sit down, eat dinner, talk to the fam, and then I'm back on the film board. I'm serious talk. So when they go to bed, 10, 11, I'm back at watching film. So, and then I'm getting up doing the same thing over again. So it never stops. And just imagine if you're a coach when that's what you're doing for a living. It's about the film. You don't know what's going on. You're really not paying attention to it because – that's kind of becomes a distraction. Hey, I'm focusing on what I'm doing. So I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, you know, Lawrence is not star quarterback.
No. And you think about it.
What if he's saying that because he had like a shoulder injury, the left one, and they were kind of limiting him early. But I think he's full go now, right?
he may have had a little bit of a hamstring thing too.
Did he? But,
yeah, I think so. And they're saying, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah. You know that hammy stuff. I would be messing with him at practice. Oh, man, you taking care of that hammy, you little baby. Is it okay? Did you put the patch on there to make sure you can practice? Or can you practice? I know those things get tricky. Man, come on, you the quarterback. Come on, I mean, how far are you running? Man, these guys, yeah. You know, and I know it can happen easily because you're out there trying to impress. But, dude, get warmed up. I mean, I was 21. I feel like I could run all day. Really, seriously. If my hammy starts grabbing, hey, slow down. Take a breather.
Yeah, this is
some water.
Mike DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN, mentioned it just yesterday. Got some 11-on-11 reps too, so his hamstring was feeling better. Great way for him to end mini camp. Taylor Lewan is starting to speak on the Titans post practice Zoom. Here is Taylor Lewan.
Taylor, good afternoon. How are you doing? How's the ACL recovery coming? And I'll stop there. I have more questions, but I'll stop with that one.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking that question. I figured that would come up. My ACL is doing great. Obviously, it was tough being out during the season, especially missing that much time this season. It's been a lot of time for reflecting and growing. So knee's doing really well. I'm doing change of direction now. I'm doing some running. So I'm really excited for the season. I've never missed practice in my life. Like missed it. Like personally, I missed going to practice. I've missed a practice. But I tell you what, watching the boys out there running around and playing ball, it definitely makes you miss it a whole bunch. So I can't wait for the season.
Kayla? Oh, here we are. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Okay. We've asked everyone and their mom this, but I mean, what is it like to, you said, watching the boys out there and see number two, the newest addition for you guys? I mean, impressive just to see him in person, Taylor.
Yeah, the guy's a future Hall of Famer, man. The amount of work, the talent he has and the amount of work that he's put in and the short conversations that I've had with him. It's, I think any team he would have gone to, he would have made them a lot better. I'm really excited as part of the Tennessee Titans, but you know, that at the end of the day, we have to make this thing work. Guys got to protect. Ryan's got to throw it. We have 11 guys on the field at one time. So I'm really excited to see the chemistry grow and seeing what this team can do in the season.
Harry.
Taylor, how much did the injury kind of maybe change your thinking, change your approach in terms of your career and playing football? Did it make you a little more grateful for the opportunity to be an NFL player playing at a high level?
Well, Terry, are you in the car? Sounds like you're in the car right now. Yeah, honestly, throughout my career, college, high school, NFL, not in that order, it's been I've always appreciated football. It's been an outlet for me in so many different ways. And I've always enjoyed playing football as hard as I possibly can. Effort and finishing is things that I pride myself on. So I've never taken football for granted. But when you've had a certain amount of success in the NFL and it gets taken away from you abruptly, it definitely has changed the way I've thought about it a little bit. I want to play this game as long as I can. There was never a thought in my head like, well, how long should I do this? Like in my mind, my knee, when it's healed and we're back to normal. So I just can't wait to be back out there. It's like I said, I missed practice and that's a wild thing. So I just can't wait to be back out there with the boys.
Jim Wyatt.
And Taylor, a lot of us just got off the practice field, so I missed the first part. But are you encouraged with where you are right now, and how much are you chomping at the bit to be out there with your teammates?
Yeah, I wish I could be out there right now. Honestly, it's not the smartest thing for me. The Titans, we have our training staff is in the NFL for a reason, and you know, this offseason being where I was with the people that I hired to help me, they put me in an amazing position to be successful. I was able to. The good thing about being injured is you have so much time from end of October all the way till now, not only to work on my knee, but other deficiencies I've had in my body, whether it's oblique strength or flexibility in certain areas. So it hasn't been just a focus on just my knee. It's been my entire body, whether it's rearranging some nutritional stuff or just like getting flexibility, learning new things, learning how to control my body better. It's definitely, it makes me very excited because I know my capabilities when this knee is healed. I think I'll be much more improved overall as a player.
And did you say you've been doing some running and changing directions and what else maybe as part of your rehab to get stronger?
Well, there's the basic rehab stuff you do all the time. I've done a lot of BFR, but I think the stage in which I'm in right now isn't so much rehab. It's training now, and it's getting ready to get back on the field and go and play and be dominant at the position that I play in, that's left tackle. So I think most of it's been, linear speed, change of direction, football movements, really. And now it's about time to get that conditioning going and get ready for camp and this upcoming season.
David Beauclair.
Taylor, the last couple drafts, there's been a number of prospects, Dylan Radins included, who have said they admire your game. They want to be a tackle like you. How much of that have you seen, and what does that mean to you that a number of guys think that way?
Yeah, man, it's I don't want to put it lightly because I don't want to brush it off. It is very cool to have guys come in the NFL and to be a fan of me. You know, going into my eighth year, it seems like a long time, but for me, I remember 2014 coming in to a room with year 10 guys like Chris Spencer and Michael Ruse and having the guys that I admire and still admire to this day. And it's cool that I have a teammate that, watched my game in college and appreciated the way I play. And in my thought is, hopefully I can live up to those expectations. So, but Dylan, he's been great, man. I try to talk to him a little bit. I feel like he's a little shy around me. I feel like when I get up to him, hang out with him, I talk to him a little bit, but then he's like kind of quiet. And I'm like, well, I'm in the market for a friendship if you want to do it, Dilly. It's between you and me. We can make it work if you want it to.
Lennon.
Yes, Taylor, continuing on that theme, when we asked Roger yesterday, he talked about Dylan being like a very much a yes sir, no sir, keep his head down kind of guy. Is that in some ways, is that a nice thing to see, a guy come in, despite being a high draft pick act like maybe a rookie should, if that makes sense?
I think it's important for everyone to act. I think the worst thing you can do in this league is to try to be someone you're not. I've fallen into that trap before, whether it was in college or the beginning part of my career. And I think that if that's what Dylan's personality is, he needs to be exactly that. And I think it'll fit in perfectly with guys like Vrabel and Keith. Those guys they're demanding. They have high expectations. And I think it's going to be really good. I talked to Keith on the phone before I came in to mandatory minicamp. He told me, listen, these guys are the best rookies I think you'll ever have. These guys come in, like you said, yes sir, no sir, talk about snacks and the things you want. They just bring it in. I told him I wanted some gluten-free beef jerky. And guess what? Next day, sitting on my desk was gluten-free beef jerky. So not just Dylan, but all the rookies now have done a great job. And it's nice to be around. There is a bit of a pecking order. What's up? What's up, King? There is a bit of a pecking order in the NFL, and those guys seem to fit in, and it's kind of, they're working to earn respect, and they have mine, so I'm very very excited to have them on this team.
A couple more, and then we have Derek next. Ben Arthur.
Hey Taylor, you mentioned how you're kind of now in like sort of training mode, doing football movements, change of direction. I mean, obviously your body better than anyone. Do you feel like you could be ready to go full go by training camp, after this kind of long break that you guys have?
I think it doesn't matter what my opinion is on that. I think Vrabel and Todd are going to get a game plan with me, and we're going to do the best thing it is for my body so that when week one comes, I can have the best success I can to help this team win. I could sit here and, predict a bunch of things, but you never know what's going to happen in these next 6-7 weeks. I expect it to go swimmingly, smooth, but you never know what's going to happen. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, day one of training camp, we'll be ready to go, and we'll be, you know, hell's bells from then on. But I think what's important is that I take every day one day at a time. I have to train today at 5 o'clock with Luke Richeson, the best strength coach of all time. I'm going to sit there with him. We're going to work through the stuff we've been working through, keep progressing. And my goal is to be as dominant as I possibly can this upcoming season. However that looks, I know Vrabel put me in the right position. He has done an amazing job with guys whenever they're injured of letting us figure it out and be comfortable and ready to play. And it's showed when guys come back from injury.
Taylor Lewan speaking with the media. It sounds like Derrick Henry is set to go next. We'll take a quick break. We will come back and hear from King Henry next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, let's go back live to St. Thomas Sports Park. Derrick Henry addressing the media via Zoom.
I'm here, but do you feel like you did play a small part maybe in, you know, helping it happen?
Well, AJ did had a bigger role, but I pitched in a little bit. I tried to at least. Thank
you. Couple more for Derrick. Terry?
Derrick,
Type your question and we can ask it for you. And Teron, if you want to ask in the meantime.
Terry coming in from Mars. My question
always.
My question is just in regards to what Julio brings to the table and just how it opens things up for you as a back. Can you just kind of get into what that does, you know, adding him to the picture?
Well, I mean, he's a dynamic player. One of not the best receiver in this league. So, you know, he's definitely respected by defenses. And, you know, I mean, I don't really get into all the, you know, boxes and, you know, different type of scenarios. I think we just try to put it all together while we're here and just try to work and, you know, try to make each other better. And, you know, each and every day, you know, he likes to work hard. I like to work hard, and that's all, you know, we're trying to bring to the table, you know, as far as being teammates and, you know, the whole team is making each other better. Not really getting to, you know, what this be like and that would be like, this trying to put it all together, come here, work every day, get better, be a great teammate, and see what we can do.
Gentry.
Yeah, Derrick, I know yours and Julio's paths at Alabama didn't cross quite at the same time, but did you get to know him much at all through that? And because of kind of a shared background, do you have a little bit better idea what to expect, what you guys are getting out of Julio, given the fact you guys both play at the same place?
Yeah, when I was at Alabama, he used to come back all the time. And, you know, got to know him, you know, through that time. And, you know, actually when I was coming out for the draft and, you know, I got to train with him when he came back to Alabama as well. And then just, you know, seeing him and hanging out with him my time throughout the league and, you know, his body of work and how he plays and what type of player he is. And, you know, we're both coming from Bama. We both know each other's mindset and, you know, what we want to do. And, you know, just a great guy to have around. You know, he was a humble guy, loved to work hard, and a great teammate and be a great asset, you know, for this team and, you know, for everybody to learn from one of the greats that played this game.
All right, I got Terry's here. What are the new challenges for you in the offense after such an outstanding year last year?
Say it again.
What's the challenges for you and the offense after such an outstanding year last year?
I don't think we looking at what's the new challenge. I think it's just us, you know, just trying to be better at everything that we do as far as on offense, individually, collectively, and just growing, you know, and helping each other grow and, you know, just competing, hold each other accountable and, you know, just doing the things we need to do as a team while we're away. And then we get back here, just try to put it all together. That's just working hard. Hard work. It's always hard work. It's a grind. And I think we all know that. And I think, you know, it takes time and just, you know, try to push each other day by day to be the best we can be when the season comes.
Last two questions, Jim Wyatt.
I guess, Derek, two quick ones. One, did you let Julio know that you wore number two, I guess, during your rookie year at the start?
No, I didn't. I didn't know what number he was going to choose. I didn't know what was happening with that. But, you know, it fits him, and, you know, I'm glad he found his number.
And as far as Kari, how has your relationship with him kind of on and off the field evolved, and how much credit do you give him for some of the success you have?
We talk from time to time during the off season. You know, just check in with one another, see how each other's doing. Kari does all the dirty work, and you know, he's a big part of my success. Definitely appreciate him throughout the years with the success I had, and I'm glad we still have him, and you know, have another season with him, and he's doing a great job for us.
Last question, Paul.
It's Derrick Henry wrapping things up. Again, the Titans' last day on the field as part of mandatory minicamp. They'll finish up with off-the-field work tomorrow, and Mike Vrabel will speak. So anything key from Mike Vrabel, you hear from us tomorrow. I'm sure as these players continue to speak, I think A.J. Brown is still set to go, right, Lucas? So I would stay tuned to 3HL. Okay, Lucas is talking, but I can't hear him. He's caught up in soccer. What did you say, buddy? Okay, A.J. Brown and coordinator, so just stay tuned to the zone. I'm sure that will be covered fully, of course, by Brent and Don and Ron on 3HL. But it's time for us to go. Happy Hump Day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace!